Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host, Jer Cole Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. And today we're going to be doing, this is going to be the part one of a two-part series with good friend of the show, Seth Topol, who hosts The Scoop on KLGR. And he is going to be helping me grade the positions out for the Timberwolves so far this season. First of all, Seth, how are you doing? It feels like it's been too long since you've been on the show.
It has been too long, but I'm hanging in there. We are in the winter grind. So much going on. It's hard to keep track of everything. Oh, and bowl season is starting up this weekend. So it's frantic, but I don't know if we'd have it any other way. There's always something going on, so there's always something to break down.
Well, and you especially, my man, you're covering all the sports. You got to throw in NFL, you got to throw in NHL. I mean, you must be swimming.
Yeah, the bowl is full of scoops. There's plenty of scoops going around. A lot of ice cream for those that that like ice cream, like myself. But it's fun. It challenges you to try to keep up with everything, and obviously, it's not possible to keep up with all the various things going on. But then you find easy ways to be able to get recaps and to go over some of the things you missed, so you can stay up to date all the time and sound like a genius on the radio.
Well, and shameless plug here for some partners with the Locked On Network, The Athletic. Always pumping out. I know that Seth is pumping out that audio content, but if you are a fan of written content, The Athletic is pumping out stuff to every single day, some fantastic work to keep you up to date on everything. College basketball, NBA, NFL, college football, NHL, all that good stuff. They have so much great content. So that's one way when I'm not listening to The Scoop, when I'm not listening to Locked On stuff, that's one way that I keep up to date is The Athletic. And I tell you what, there's one thing that I would not like to be kept up to date on, and that's the Kings blowing out the Timberwolves and this three-game road streak. And the Timberwolves and their road antics this year. I mean, oh my goodness.
Yeah, this has been I don't want to overuse the Jekyll and Hyde metaphor, but that's the perfect way to describe it. Is this team is just completely different at home and on the road, and it's the weirdest thing. Is you'd think that a team would be able to at least have some amount of success on the road. You'd think they'd be able to beat some of these teams that they're clearly better than. Yet the Wolves go to Sacramento, they score 130 points, and in today's NBA, that is enough to lose because the Kings scored 141, and it was just three after three after three, just daggers up and down the court. And I tell you what, I don't know if there's enough talk about that Sacramento team, currently the eighth seed in the playoffs. They are playing exceptionally well, and we're seeing some young kids really start to take off this season. And despite apparently wanting Dave Yeager fired at earlier points this year, that Kings team is going to be a problem here in the next couple of years. They're already starting to become pesky here this year.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. They're a super fun team to watch because of their speed and their transition. And giving up 141 points, not really good. We're going to get into that as we get into the position breakdown. And really, if we're talking about defense, what better place to start than the point guards here for the Timberwolves? Grading out the point guards as a position, I got to give them, I'm looking at them, and now if you're not familiar with the Timberwolves depth chart, although I know all my loyal followers of the Locked On Wolves show, I'm pretty sure they're pretty familiar. They're an educated bunch. I'm pretty sure they're familiar with the group of Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones. That's making up the point guard group. And so these three guys, I've got to grade them out at a B, even though I would love to give individuals like Derrick Rose an A. I think that their performance overall is a B, and I got to say, a lot of it has to do with that defense.
Yeah, I think that is I think that's spot on. Offensively, they've been pretty good. Derrick Rose, probably one of the leaders in the clubhouse for that sixth man of the year Vogt, I mean, he's averaging 18.5 points a game coming off the bench. He's playing almost 30 minutes a game. So he has been very, very good. But I'm going to go C-plus with the point guards just because.
Ooh, hot take right out the gate.
Little bit of a hot take to get us started here. You look at the disparity. I mean, a guy like Tyus Jones averaging 18 minutes a game, and that seems high for what he's getting in terms of playing time. One of their better defensive point guards, really not seeing the lineup much, and we've seen time and time again, we saw it against Sacramento, when it comes to matching up against some teams with good offensive point guards, we're seeing the Wolves lose those battles because they can't slow them down at all. And I think I'm going to go C plus for the point guards because offensively good, defensively, not so much.
Yeah, they really do get a negative in the defensive side of things, and I want to take a quick side note on Tyus Jones. If you look at his numbers, his minutes have taken a hit. He was averaging I think it was last week, 18.5 minutes per game. Now it's right around 17.8. But he's averaging right around the highest mark of his career as far as minutes. But his field goal percentage, down, worst of his career. 3-point percentage, worst of his career. Free throw percentage, second worst of his career. His steal percentage is lower than last year. His assists average is lower than last year, and one of the worst marks of his, or a lower mark of his career, really. Well, actually, it's 2.9. Excuse me, it's 2.9. He was 2.8 last year, so it's just 0.1 higher than last year. I mean, all of his shooting stats are down or at their worst mark of his career, and he's getting more minutes on the floor. I mean, Is this a confidence thing? Is this just him knowing that he really can't play outside of himself as far as an offensive presence, just because he doesn't want to lose what minutes he has? Or is this really a problem of Tyus Jones hasn't been given the shot to be an offensive presence, and so when he's getting more minutes, he's not exactly sure what to do with them?
I think that final one is 100% what's going on, because you look at that typical bench unit. Is when they come in, it's Tyus and then it's Derrick Rose. So Derrick Rose is going to be your primary scoring option off the bench. So that pushes Tyus more of an off-ball role, which at that point, Derrick Rose has the ball in his hands. He's going to go try to score. So you try to do some other things, and there have been some shot opportunities here and there for Tyus, but nothing consistently. So you're not really able to get into any sort of a shooting rhythm. And he, I think a lot of times, is just looking to get the ball to somebody else who can be more of a scorer. So he's kind of in a weird transitional period. And I think this Wolves bench is kind of as well, because I don't know if anybody expected that Derrick Rose was going to be as good as he has been offensively. So if he has any sort of a step down from what we've seen from him so far, then I think they look more to Tyus offensively to try to help out a little bit more. But Rose has been handling so much of the scoring that I think everybody else in that bench unit is basically just trying to get out of the way and let him do his thing. So that creates a lot of guys, you know, not wanting to mess things up. It's, well, if I turn the ball over, where's my next chance going to come? And that, as a result, has created really a one-man wrecking crew on that bench, being Derrick Rose.
Well, the other thing that's a little concerning, if you're looking at stats too, he shot 87%, Tyus Jones did, from the free throw line last year. And now this year he's only averaging 0.6 free throw attempts per game. I mean, that's just a really simple way. Just drive to the basket, get to the free throw line. He is a good free throw shooter. He's shown that last year through 82 games that he's a good free throw shooter. Get to the line and shoot those free throws. Get to the charity stripe. I mean, even simple stuff like that, I know that it doesn't seem, if you get to the line a few times and that's a couple extra points, it doesn't seem like a lot, but that's still a way that you're able to pull a defense it's still opening up stuff, options for the pass. If you're driving in, maybe a couple defenders are giving you some extra space because they're not trying to follow you. Maybe that opens up some passing lanes, or at least you're getting a couple extra points. If you're not able to find a rhythm scoring, getting the ball in the basket that simple way could be something or enough to help Tyus Jones. It's just simple stuff like that that he could be doing that I just am not seeing from him. That's a little concerning. But that said, I still would like to see him get more points. I mean, I really feel like if you give him 21 minutes a game and take some minutes from Teague, I think that he could have an opportunity to really start to reach in that ceiling. But again, these are some of the things that are keeping this point guard group from getting that A rating, which is upsetting because this might be the best group on this team.
Yeah, I would agree. I think top to bottom, depth-wise, this is the strongest group for this Wolves roster. And I think Tom Thibodeau could do something with that in just showing a little bit of confidence. I know he gets kind of this steely demeanor, but I'm sure there have been moments of humor and smiles behind the scenes that we haven't seen. And it gets to where you... Even as I always draw this comparison, and I don't know why, but I'm again going to go to Mike Zimmer. Even though he is viewed as kind of this steely, demeanored head coach, we still have seen human moments from him throughout his tenure, and I think that kind of stuff resonates with the players. If Tibbs would just take an opportunity to just go give Tyus a vote of confidence and just, you know, give him a pat on the back and say, look, I know your numbers are down, but you're still one of our core bench guys, and we're going to make sure that we get you opportunities to get into a rhythm and consistently get into the game. Now, is that going to happen? Probably not, but I think it comes down to just knowing that even on nights where you don't necessarily have your best, that you still are going to be part of the group going forward, and that if you have a game where you go 0-for-5, you don't have to worry about being thrown all the way down to the end of the bench. I think that kind of stuff speaks volumes too for players.
100% agree. We're going to get to a break for some sponsors, then we're going to get to the shooting guards. First, some sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and effectively deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by 5 rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers and snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. That's me. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep your toasty warm, and even in the most frigid weathers, you can stay comfortably warm. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save up to 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. Again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon and check out everything Action Heat has to offer. Use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. That's 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, so we're grading out positions here. Now, this one's going to be a bit of an extended conversation. That's why we're doing the guards in one show, and then we're going to do front court in the next show here in part two of this series. But shooting guards. So first of all, let's get through the shooting guards on this team. So you have CJ Williams. You have Jared Terrell. You have Andrew Wiggins, who I guess technically they still list, depending on where you're looking, as a small forward, but he's really been playing the shooting guard position most of this year. especially with Robert Covington coming in. I mean, is it fair to qualify him as a shooting guard? Are you okay with this? Is this allowed? Is this legal?
Yep, I will allow it. The officials have been consulted, and the play stands.
Beautiful, beautiful. We also have Josh Okogie here, and I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I'm throwing Jimmy Butler in for this grading. He was playing on the Timberwolves for 10 games this season. I'm going to include him in the rating of this group so far this year.
Okay, me likey.
I'm going to rate out this group as a C-. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but first I want to hear your reaction. What's your counter grade?
C- feels incredibly accurate as to how I would assess the two guard position for the Wolves. So I'm going to agree with you on that. C- feels perfect.
Because here's the thing. If you look at every single player in this group, there's a counter argument for why you should like for the good things on this player. Because basically every single one of these players, I actually really CJ Williams is, I think that he doesn't really have a big impact, and he's only been in 6 games. But I think outside of him, every single one of these guys I have a strong opinion for, and I also have a strong opinion against each one of these players. So going down the list, Jimmy Butler. Obviously, really talented player. He was traded, but while he was on the Timberwolves this year, he was really good. Really a big asshole in the locker room, right? Really negative locker room presence. Andrew Wiggins has had really good moments, but he's had some big slumps this season, and he's had some games where he's just disappeared. And I'm not sure if I can get depend on him consistently this season, just like last year. That was a problem for him. Josh Okogie, really love his athleticism. He's had some really great moments defensively and offensively in transition, but he's really struggled for three-point range, and he doesn't get enough minutes. And Jared Terrell, this is the guy that I loved coming out of college. He's only played in 1 game, and this is a guy who could be kind of an X factor down the road for the Timberwolves, but obviously there's not enough minutes for somebody who's kind of buried on the roster to get a chance. But Jared Terrell, I actually sneaky like him and really loved him at Rhode Island. So I have a strong opinion, I feel like, on everybody but CJ Williams both ways.
Yeah, we all know what happened with General Soreness before he was traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. He put up numbers. He was the leader. I'm breaking my knuckles doing air quotes here in the studio. He was the leader of this team while he was here. Things went bad, and then he went bad as well, kind of deciding here and there, you know, I'm going to take the day off, General Soreness, that kind of thing. So that definitely has to be heavily factored in with him. Andrew Wiggins has, up until the last probably 8 or so games, looked pretty lost this year. And I don't know if this whole notion of him just finally flipping the switch is really what's going on that has caused him to, I think he's got something like 4 consecutive 20-point games and has been pretty efficient shooting. So if it is as simple as him just kind of flipping the switch and saying, okay, I'm sick of this, I'm going to start making things happen, that's a little concerning going forward, but I guess we'll take it at this point. And then, yeah, the other guys, I mean, Josh Okogie has been a spark, especially defensively when he's played, but the heavy emphasis being on when he's played. He, when everybody's healthy, doesn't really crack the rotation. He's only been kind of an injury fill-in. Other than that, he really spends most of his time on the bench. And then the other guys, too, you are a little bit more well-versed in them than I am, but CJ Williams has had a cup of coffee here and there. Jared Terrell, I'm intrigued as well. I think he could be something that they can look to as they go down the stretch, if he is allowed to play as well, if there are some maybe blowout situations where he comes into the game. But yeah, it's a very inconsistent group because you never know with the Kogi when he's going to play, depending on who's hurt and who's not. And still, we're waiting to see Andrew Wiggins consistently turn in the production that was expected of him when he signed his max deal. He still has those games where he'll have like 13 points and he won't have a rebound, an assist, a foul, a turnover, a steal, anything else. It's just 13 points and that's it. And that kind of stuff just, it flat out can't happen with a player who's making that much money.
Well, and the thing is, the reason I include Jimmy Butler too is he, for whatever his problems were off the court, he did give this position group and this team, but specifically the shooting guard position, he gave them an identity, right? He's going to take over in the fourth quarter. The shooting guard is going to take over in the fourth quarter. He's going to control some things. He's going to make some plays defensively. And now with him gone, what's that gap that you have to fill? Where's the identity coming from? Is it Josh Okogie and Wiggins just being pure athletes? Is it them becoming more efficient shooters? I feel like this position group kind of needs an identity and a leader amongst themselves to come up, and I'm not exactly sure which guy it's going to be because there's a major flaw with each one of these guys. And I just don't know. I feel like this team operates at full capacity when they figure out which one of these guys from this position group is really going to own a basketball game from time to time. And I feel like even with how well Andrew Wiggins has played, he's not the guy to really step up and take over a basketball game yet. Maybe that's in the future, but as of right now, it just feels like he's not the guy to really take over a basketball game even when he's having a good night. I think Josh Okogie might have that kind of attitude, but he is not giving enough minutes. There's a lot of question marks around this position group still, and it's disappointing because I feel like the ceiling is actually pretty high for these young guys in this group.
Yeah, I would agree. We've seen the impact that Okogie can have already on the defensive side of the ball. His offense needs a lot of work, but we knew that when he was drafted, is that he was going to have to work on his shot, work on some of his offensive selections. And as he does that, yeah, he can end up being a pretty important portion of a rotation if given those consistent minutes, as you said. And we haven't seen that yet. And so it's hard to really give a full encompassing grade to this group other than the guys who have largely played. Butler, as you said, now gone, and Wiggins really hasn't given us much. So yeah, I would say the grade is spot on for the guards, but the chance for them to develop into to important players is very, very high. And so this, if not for a C-, I would have almost given it an incomplete. But I think C- is a good way to go.
I like it. All right, that's part one. We went through and graded out point guards and shooting guards. Come back tomorrow, and Seth will be here helping me grade out the front court. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.